With the mining industry now more a whimper than a boom, it's time to look to the future. But what happens to the land when a mine shuts down? A recent Mining New South Wales campaign claims rehabilitating the land is a key priority. But are mining companies fulfilling their responsibility to restore the land? When mining companies pack up and leave, what are they leaving behind? To find out more, we've got Professor David Lamb from the Centre for Mine Rehabilitation at the University of Queensland on the line. Professor, good morning. How are you doing?
Good day, Rich.
So what responsibility do mining companies have when a mine finishes or shuts down?
Well, they usually have a legal obligation to carry out rehabilitation after the mine is finished, and that is to make the mine safe and sometimes for some prescribed land use. But these things are often, these obligations are often fairly vague, and some mining companies carry it out and others don't seem to get around to doing it.
So you mentioned that it is legally binding. Is it just not well policed, or you mentioned it was vague? It's just not clear enough, I guess?
No, that's right. Sometimes when prices go down, mines get put into what they call a care and maintenance basis. And in Queensland, the numbers of those is astonishingly high. So that nothing's been done, and the argument is that they'll get around to doing it when the mining operation starts up again when prices rise. But the Queensland Auditor General voiced the suspicion that this was a way of getting out of their obligations. So a number of companies will even go broke, declare themselves bankrupt, so that no mining rehabilitation gets done. So it's a major problem. I don't want to say that every mining company is like that. There's some that do a very good job. There's a disappointingly large number of mining companies where the rehabilitation has been put on hold or put off until the mine is finished. And so after a very long time of mining in Australia, we can point to only a relatively small number of cases where companies have fulfilled their legal obligations.
So when that, in that instance, when a company says that it's broke, has no money to rehabilitate the mine and the area around the mine, what happens? Who then becomes responsible for it?
Well, usually the state will come in and pick it up. I say usually because this hasn't always happened. In the past, for instance, in the gold mining era, a lot of mines were created and then abandoned. And there's one estimate, there's something like 50,000 old mine sites scattered around Australia.
Wow.
from the 1800s, where nothing much has been done. But where there's been a mine carried out and it's leaking toxic materials, then the state will come in and fix it up. And most states have got some kind of a bond system where they say to the company, we want you to lodge a bond with us to cover the situation where you can't or haven't carried out the mining operation, or the rehabilitation operation, so that we've got some money to play with if you walk away from it. And so most states have got large amounts of money like this, but the concern is that the money they've got is nowhere near enough to carry out the rehabilitation. And the problem is that rehabilitation can be a very expensive operation, especially if you're doing it after the event. If the rehabilitation process is planned at the time the mining is created, so that, for instance, you can make sure that all the toxic material is buried deep down below the soil surface.
Mm.
That's one thing. But if that's not been done and you're left with a big pile of toxic material leaching into the waterways, then that can be very expensive. And it's hard to know just how much that's going to cost. Just to put it into perspective, the Ranger uranium mine in the Northern Territory is about to close down. And the estimates of rehabilitating that site range upwards to $500 million, you know, $500 million.
Wow.
And I think you might have seen in the last couple of months a whole lot of media reports about the magnitude of these rehabilitation costs, you know, the estimate of magnitude. And they're huge. And I suspect that the bond money that governments have got lodged to cater for this are not going to be enough.
And just one final question, Professor. I guess as a response to this, or hopefully to bring in some kind of industry standard, the Society of Ecological Restoration Australasia recently developed a draft set of standards. Can you take us through some of those?
Oh, these are standards that the Society has put out to try and set a benchmark. I said earlier that often the obligations that companies have in their legal agreement with the state, often vaguely worded. But the argument that the Society of Ecological Restoration Australasia put out was to say, let's try and improve the quality of restoration. We don't want something that's simply a green cover over the landscape, which after 12 months dies or becomes infested by weeds. We're trying to put down a series of principles and standards that mining companies might aspire to. And they recognise that there are different situations. Not all situations require taking it back to the condition that was there before. That would be something you'd like to do when natural undisturbed vegetation is mined. Mm. But in other cases, you might be mining an agricultural landscape. Well, you don't necessarily want to take it back to what you thought was the original vegetation there. So the Society has put up these principles. They include things like trying to use as many native species as possible, trying to plan the operation, the rehabilitation operation at the time the mine is designed, rather than doing it after the mine is finished. Trying to have a monitoring program in place so that you can keep checking what's going on, because these processes of rehabilitation can take a number of years. Mm. And sometimes unexpected events can happen. You know, a drought can come along, or an insect problem can come along, and you've got to have a process they call adaptive management, where you adapt your management to fit the circumstances. And the dilemma is that this, as I say, can be a long process, especially in drier parts of the landscape where, you know, you might only have a good rainfall season once every 5 years. So that means you have conditions suitable for plant regeneration and plant growth only episodically. So they're trying to provide a set of benchmarks, guidelines, not prescriptive, because they recognise that every state is going to have different conditions and every mine is going to be different. So they're trying to give some suggestions for state regulators to come up and negotiate a good mining rehabilitation benchmark for each particular mine.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. But Professor, thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning.
Okay, Mitch. Cheers.
There's Professor David Lamb from the Centre for Mine Rehabilitation at the University of Queensland talking to us about a pretty interesting factor. As you mentioned, there are a number of mines right across the country, and what kind of condition will they be left in, and how can they be, I guess, rehabilitated to, you know, help the environment around them. Really interesting stuff there.